Chapter 5. Somehow, Jason spent every evening in Phantom's Oasis for the next month, either in his Red Hood gear or just in his civvies, not that it mattered considering everyone knew who he was these days. But either way, he found himself working on his paperwork or just enjoying the evening in the coffee shop with the ghosts and others who seemed to find the place just as calming and welcoming as Jason did. "You have someone who's been following you for the last 2 days," Danny said, coming over and pouring more hot water into Jason's teacup before dropping in his usual teabag. Jason looked up and gave him a confused look, tilting his head to the side. Danny glanced out the window and smiled. "Dick Grayson. He's sitting across the street on a really extra-looking motorcycle," Danny said, patting Jason's shoulder. Jason let out a huff, fire rumbling in dissatisfaction. He couldn't believe his brother was stalking him now. He thanked his friend and shook his head in dismay. "He's mad that I haven't been answering his FaceTime calls lately," Jason told him through rumbling flames and crackling cinders. "Why are you ignoring him?" Danny asked, still watching Nightwing sitting outside, arms over his chest. "He looks really pathetic." A sharp crackling of flames escaped from Jason as he laughed, throwing his head back as he did. He wiped a stray tear from his eyes and looked at Danny. "He really is pathetic," he said, through flickering flames of laughter. "Go tell him to come in and stop freaking out my guests," Danny said, before leaving Jason to his table once more. Jason sighed and turned around to motion for the vigilante to come in. Dick looked back and forth a few times before he grinned and walked into the coffee shop before taking a seat on the stuffed chair across from Jason. "How are you?" he asked, leaning on his forearms. Jason gave him a look and he leaned back in his seat, crossing his arms over his chest and raising an eyebrow at his younger brother. "You haven't been responding to my texts or answering my FaceTime calls." "Been busy," Jason signed, glancing over at where Danny was standing, talking with a few customers, laughing and waving his hands. Jason couldn't help but smile at how beautiful the man looked in his natural element. He didn't know when it had started, but one day Jason had come in and looked at Danny, and something in his chest just fluttered. He didn't know if it was the kind smiles that Danny shot his way, or the fact that Danny had opened him up to an entire world of beings who understood what Jason's flames and crackling embers meant. If it was the soft look on Danny's face when he would stare at Jason as the crime lord complained about his family or a recent issue in his work. Danny had said his obsession was to have peace, but this was more than just Jason sharing that peace with others. This was something more, something that had Jason feeling more than just peace. He felt giddy and happy, and felt more and more compelled to come to Phantom's Oasis. Now, it wasn't just for the calming atmosphere, it was for Danny. To watch him interact with customers, to see him smiling to himself as he cleaned up a table after a group of customers left. It was to listen to the electricity that hummed in the air, almost as if Danny was casting a spell on the customers of Phantom's Oasis. Jason was addicted to everything that was Danny Fenton, and he wanted more and more of him. Dick turned and looked over at Danny before Jason smacked his head. Dick turned back and glared at him. "What?" he demanded. "I was just trying to see what you were looking at. Do you have a crush, J-Lad?" he asked, giving him a small, teasing smile. "Stop," Jason signed, before flipping his brother off. The cop watched his brother for a moment, a small smile on his face. "You seem happier, Jace. Lighter than I've seen you since the accident," he said softly. "Wasn't an accident," Jason signed at him before he took a sip of his tea and grabbed the packets of sugar that he hadn't even noticed Danny set down beside the teacup. "Look, he did everything he could. It wasn't his fault that Joker got the slip on you in that fight." Jason shook his head and looked down at his cup. He had never corrected his siblings' assumptions. Bruce had never told any of them what happened that night. Jason never told any of them what happened that night. They all just made the assumption that Joker had been the one to slit Jason's throat. Sure, there were rumors that Batman had done it, just like there were rumors that Batman had stopped the fight because he didn't want Red Hood to kill Joker. But the bats and the birds, they all chose to believe that it had been Joker to slice Jason's throat, and that Bruce would never have done something like that. "I'm not trying to argue with you, Jason. I've been worried about you. I just wanted to come check on you, and you look happy," Dick said quietly. "You look a lot happier than I've seen you in a very long time. It's nice." Things are going really good, Jason told him, glancing over at Danny, who shot him a soft, shy smile before going back to his conversation with one of his other regulars. You like him, Dick said, glancing back over at Danny. Little edgy for my tastes, but he's definitely hot, he admitted. Jason snorted and shook his head, the sound of a sputtering flame coming out of him as he did. Dick smiled. Is he cool with all the sounds you make? He asked, tilting his head to the side in curiosity. Jason just nodded. Does it too? What do you mean he does it too? He can make sounds like fires coming out of him? Dick asked, and Jason just smiled and shook his head. Don't worry about it. He's like me. Came back wrong. Dick raised an eyebrow but nodded his head once before dropping the conversation. Jason gave him a small smile. At least his brother was getting better at knowing when to stop pushing and when to just let things go. He was probably the best in their family about it, aside from Cass, who never pushed at all. I'm just happy you're doing okay, Dick said before he stood up. I heard you were practically living at this coffee shop from a little birdie, so I figured it would be my best chance at finding you and seeing how you're doing. Please stop freezing me out. Jason just grunted and took a sip of his tea. Dick squeezed his shoulder lightly before he left the cafe. Soon, Danny flitted over and let out a sigh. Aw, he didn't even order anything, Danny said sadly. What a shame. Better that he didn't. If he tried your drinks, he'd never leave, Jason grumbled out, angry little pops and explosions coming out between the chirps. Danny laughed and shook his head. I wouldn't mind. He's cute, Danny said, resting his ass against the armrest of the other chair. Jason startled and glared at him. Don't say that, he exclaimed, his fire roaring, showing his anger despite his best efforts at not showing it. That was the worst part of ghost speak. It apparently didn't hide anything. Everything was on display. Different sounds meant different things. There were words tied into the sounds, but it was mostly feeling and emotion. Those were what translated the words over. Ghosts were beings of feelings, Danny had told him. Pure instinct, pure feeling. Of course their language would be the same way. Danny just smirked at the revenant. Jealous, he teased. Don't worry, Hood. You're still the cutest one out of all of your siblings. Don't patronize me, Jason snarled out, angry flames whipping through the air, cutting through the hum of electricity that came from Danny. I'm not. I think you're cute. I've thought that since you walked your happy ass through my coffee shop, he said with a shrug. I'm allowed to find you attractive. You know I'm a crime lord, right? Jason asked him, raising his eyebrow in surprise. Danny shrugged. And? He asked. Before I came here, I was considered a non-sapient, non-sentient monster, he said. We all have shit. Jason snickered, shaking his head as he did. We all have shit. The fire stuttered out as though water had been splashed over it. Exactly, Danny said with a chirp. Now, I have to get some work done, but you should give me a call. Maybe instead of coming to my coffee shop to stare at me, you can take me to dinner instead, he said, slipping a napkin onto the table, his number scribbled on it. Jason stared at the napkin in surprise as Danny skipped off to take someone's order. End of chapter 5.